Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and today we have two special guests. First of all, it's a gay couple, and they've been together for quite some time, and you'll be able to hear their story. And, they're a couple by the name of Tim and Jean, and they live up in Michigan, and I found them through an article that was posted on gay.com about the gays in the military, and that's probably the heart and soul of the interview. But after talking with them briefly on the phone, I found out that they had a lot of other great information to share with you, the listener, and I certainly hope you'll enjoy it as much as I did talking with them. So first of all, I'd like you to welcome Tim to the show, and say hello, Tim, to the 12 listeners I have.
12 listeners, wow. Hello, everybody.
Okay, great. And what I was wondering is, Tim, if you could just give a little background about yourself and tell our lovely listeners how old you are and where you're from originally, and just a little background as you were as a kid.
Okay, I grew up in a small town in Michigan called Boyne City, and B-O-Y-N-E, get that. It's got a boy in the name, so I guess I'm all about that. I'm 45, and I'm the youngest of six children. As far as I know, I'm the only one that turned out to be gay. At least I hope so, because the rest of them are so redneck that I would, and no taste in decor at all. So, but at any rate, let's see, at the age of 18, I graduated from a local high school. I was top 10 in my class, but there was only 13 of us, so there's not much to say about that. I immediately joined the service in 1978, and from there, when I went to A schools in Meridian, Mississippi, I went from there to, well, I actually went to boot camps first, obviously, to Great Lakes, Illinois, and then I went to further training in Meridian, Mississippi, and then from there I was deployed to Bahrain, and that's a small island in the Persian Gulf, and I was stationed there for a couple of years during the evacuation of the Iranian embassy, and so that's where I got my first Meritorious Service Award and Expeditionary Medal while I was there, and let's say I was nominated for Sailor of the Year while I was there, and from there I got stationed stateside in Orlando, Florida, and for 4 years, and there I met Jean, who is my significant other. We've been together 23 years, and you know, we met at a gay bar. I was coming into the bar. He was leaving. He turned around and followed me in there. We bought each other a drink, and we talked, and then we went back to his place, and, you know, the rest from there. So, let's see. After 4 years of station in Orlando, I decided that I wanted to enhance my career. I got stationed in Jacksonville, Florida, for a while. I was on the Admiral staff there. And while I was in Orlando, I was on the Inspector General's office as a staff person on that as well. And then the Admiral's staff in Jacksonville. And then from there, I went to submarine duty. Gene kind of talked me into it and telling me how good it was. At that point, Gene was just about ready to get out. He'd been in for 10 years. I'd been in, I think, six at that point. While I was on submarine duty, it was stressful because, you know, you're out to sea for several months at a time. You don't really get to go on shore duty at all. You know, you don't have no leave time on shore. You're basically either on top of the water or under the water. And it was just a stressful time being away from Gene, and I just got tired of living a lie. So I turned myself in at the time for being gay. And at that point, I had 3 Navy Achievement Medals. And at the point in time, no one believed I was gay, and I had a rough time convincing them, believe it or not, that I was gay, and that's the reason I wanted to get out. And so I actually finally convinced them, and from there I went back to Vermont and lived there with Gene for about six or seven years. Gene will probably go into more of the activist stuff with you that he had done in Vermont and getting the Civil Rights Bill through in the state of Vermont at that time, and we were there during the signing of the Civil Rights Bill. We were one of the very few people that got invited by the governor. And from there, I got offered a job working for the Comptroller's Office in the state of Florida. While I was in Vermont, I worked for the Department of Banking, Insurance, and Securities as a securities investigator, and then in Florida, I worked for the Comptroller's Office as a senior financial investigator, and then from there, I went to the Attorney General's Office in the state of Florida as a senior senior financial investigator. And from there, I moved back to Michigan, where I'm originally from, and I took care of my elderly parents. My father passed away just a couple of years ago, and we have 30 acres here, and we had three dogs, three golden retrievers, and two of which have since have died of old age, and we have their grandson, and we live out in the country. I love it. I guess I'm not really good at decorating. I am definitely not a fashion person, so pretty much a laid-back kind of guy, and we just, you know, enjoy the country life. So other than that, I can't recall anything. I probably missed a lot of stuff, but if you got any other questions for me, go ahead.
Sure. Well, as you can tell, audience, he had a lot happen in just a short time. But what I'd like to do is we'll flash back a little bit. So when was the first time that you realized that you were gay?
Wow. I think I probably knew all along. I probably when I was 7 or 8, I knew that I was attracted to guys. I tried to put it off as much as possible. I didn't really, to be really honest, I didn't have sex with another guy until I was in the service and I was 19 years old. And that person actually was a lieutenant commander, and he was outranked me by a lot. And at that point, I wasn't sure that's what I really wanted to do, but, you know, you're being gay, and I knew I was, but it really wasn't a good time for me at the time that happened. And, you know, I tried to hide those feelings, and it just didn't work. I met Gene when I was 23, so obviously, you know, and we've been together, you know, since then. And so I guess I knew all along, but I just never really suppressed the feelings because the society back then really didn't accept it. And I lived in a small town, and that's part of the reason why I got out of here, because, you know, everyone knows what everyone does, and, you know, and it just wasn't comfortable. So,
well, how did you hook up with that person?
I can barely hear you.
How did you meet that other person, the first person you met that you had?
I actually was at the officers' club, and he was at the bar, and I was playing volleyball in the pool and with a bunch of other guys, and we were really sunburned bad, and he invited me back to his room and said, you know, I've got some lotion for you that you can put on, help you. And, you know, I wasn't that naive, but, you know, so I went back to his room, and then he hit on me, and, you know, it was not something I really enjoyed that much at the time. I tried to suppress it as much as possible, but, you know, the feelings were there, and it wasn't enjoyable for me at all, and I remember the person's name. Of course, I won't disclose it here, but it wasn't something that I looked favorably back on, you know, as my first experience.
Wow. Okay, so then, and you said you were 19, right?
I was 19 at the time, yeah.
Yeah, so did you do anything after that, before you met Gene?
Well, I can I say whore? I was a conservative whore. I mean, I thought about it a lot, but never acted on it, and that's probably what saved my life, I guess, because back in the early 80s, of course, AIDS was just happening. No one knew what it was all about. And I would go to the bar with a really good friend of mine, and we, you know, I was really selective and picky about who I would go home with, and so I was real conservative at the time, and it just ended up, you know, really good that I was that. I'm glad it happened that way, because I wouldn't have met Gene probably, and I may not be here today, you know, who knows. But then again, a lot of people are you know, living a lot longer with being HIV positive, and that, you know, that's great, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so then a few years later, then you met Gene at the bar, you said, right?
I did. I met Gene. It's called the Silver Hammer, and it was in Orlando, Florida. Like I said, I was coming in the bar, and he was walking out, and he turned around and followed me back in, and then the rest is history. But, you know, I will say that while I was overseas, there was a lot of gay stuff going on the base, you know, in Bahrain. And I remember the USS LaSalle coming in port, and there was a detailer, and Gene will probably go into this as well, but a detailer is a person who puts people, either puts them in various locations throughout the United States. He, you know, basically finds jobs for you. And in this case, he was gay, evidently, and he put a lot of gay people on the one ship over there, which is called the USS LaSalle. And most of the people on that ship were gay, and when they came into port, they would just, it was just, they just kind of took over the whole base, which is kind of funny because I was on shore patrol at the time because we had, being a base, so you take turns, and so it was my turn, and I remember there was a lot of noise in the pool, and it was that night, and no one's allowed in the pool after 10 o'clock. Well, I hear this noise, and I had my, you know, I had my flashlight, my shore patrol badge, and my rifle, and I looked over the fence, and here's all these naked guys in there, and there must have been about 20 or 30. And, of course, you know, there's sex going on, everything else, and I'm like, either I'm in heaven or I don't know what's going to happen. So I shined the light in there, and they all freaked out, got out of the pool, and came up to me, you know, and here's all these guys standing around me all naked, and they said, you know, you're not going to turn us in, are you? And I said, no, just, you know, keep it down. Next time I make my rounds, you know, try to be out of here at that time, you know, but just keep it down, and no pun intended, but so yeah, that kind of happened over there, and it did happen actually, and that's the truth. So there's a lot of gay stuff in the military. It's just amazing how much stuff is going on that people are not aware of. There's an old adage that on submarines you have 120 people go out to sea and go down in the water, and you have 60 couples coming back up. So, you know, it does happen.
Wow. So you saw that a lot, like the pool stuff going on?
I did. I got hit on over there, and a lot. And I was, being a small base and everything, I didn't want to be known as being gay, because back then it was not really looked into, and actually in a lot of ways it was better to be gay back then than it is now, because the don't ask, don't tell to me just doesn't work, and policy that they have now just doesn't work at all. And so back then, a lot of people knew if you were gay, and they just didn't care. You know, a lot of your commanding officers just really didn't care at the time. And I think that was, you know, they suspected that I was gay. They never investigated me at all. I had such a really good record that, you know, they had a hard time believing it and didn't really want to waste any, you know, time investigating me or the money. You know, I think it would have been a huge blow to them, no pun intended there either, but it would have been, you know, difficult for them, you know, to spend that kind of money in training people and then get rid of them just because their preference is happens to be for men instead of women. So.
Right. Well, did you, when you saw different stuff like that, or you knew of other people, I mean, did you hear about any of them getting in trouble or getting caught?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're really, you know, out there and you really flaunted it a lot, which there were some people who did, you know, and God love them. I mean, they were just being themselves and they were having a good time, but they, you know, they were investigated and then really, really, drummed out of the service. I mean, that did happen. It didn't, I was probably one of the fortunate ones that was never investigated and I turned myself in. I mean, I couldn't live the lie anymore. But most of the people got drummed out and were investigated, and some close friends of mine. I mean, I think why I turned myself in, I think they were trying to set me up because they had a couple of people come to my room and hit on me, and I never acted on it because I knew at that point it would be a dishonorable discharge if I did anything. As it was, I received an honorable discharge because I just basically admitted I was gay and got out, you know. So, and I think that was true for most people who did that, but, you know, it depends.
So, okay, just to clarify, so if you were suspected of being gay and they did an investigation and they found out that in fact you were, then you would get a dishonorable discharge.
Well, not only that, I mean, some people, you could go into prison if you were caught, you know, in the act. I mean, it's not just a dishonorable discharge. You could go to Leavenworth if you were in the act of it, and you know, you could be beat up, you could be thrown overboard. I mean, you've seen that in the 90s where sailors were beat up and killed, and you know, luckily I didn't see that because all my, you know, buddies that were on ship never believed it, you know, and on shore duty, and you know, that's why I make it my life's work, basically, not to tell people I'm gay until they know me, and they've been with me, and they know who I am, and not to prejudge me by coming right out and say, hey, I'm gay, you know, from the beginning, because that really kind of turns people off until they actually know you, and then I think they're more acceptable after they found out you're gay. They know you first, and then they find out you're gay. I just say, doing the reverse kind of turns people off, and in my opinion, and that's why I don't do it. I mean, everyone has a reason for coming out and saying that they're gay first and shoving it in their face, and I understand that, and that's their way of handling it and dealing with it, and mine's just a little different. I just would rather let them know me for me first, and then, you know, accept it that way, you know, accept me for me, and then the gay just happens to be, you know, something else that they don't see or care about.
Right. Did you know anybody that did have to go to jail at all?
I did know somebody that was thrown, but it was a complicated case because he actually was a friend of mine, and they found out he was gay, and they were kind of, the NIS, which is the Naval Investigative Service, they were asking him to divulge other people who were gay, and he didn't, and, you know, bless him for that, because he would have ruined a lot of people's lives, because some of the people that he was, you know, that he was seeing were married, and, you know, and that would, and we're talking to higher up in command. I know of a commanding officer who was, you know, a commander of a submarine, who was gay, so, I mean, they're all levels and all walks of life that, you know, and, you know, he would have ruined that person's life forever. I mean, had he divulged that. So I have nothing but respect for him. I'm not going to use his name, and for reasons, you know, I unless I get their permission, I won't do it. But
no, that's fine. I was just, do you know what his punishment was?
He was sent to Leavenworth, I think for 6 months to a year. I don't remember the exact sentence, and you know, a bunch of us had met after he was sentenced and then thrown in the brig. We had met and talked about it, and, you know, there was a lot of concerned feelings about us at that time. But, you know, again, you know, he was one of the type of person that just let it all out. And he, you know, he's very open about being gay, and, you know, and to me, he's a hero for doing that. I mean, I guess you could say that I wasn't for the fact that I didn't come out while I was in the military, but I did turn myself in. But I don't consider myself a hero, but somebody like that I would, because they're just being themselves and, you know, and matter of fact about it, and I appreciate that, and I think those are the heroes in the gay community.
Right. I mean, it takes a lot of courage just to, I mean, stand up for who you are and what you are, but also to, you know, not cave in to the pressure of, you know, of turning names in, which, like you said, it could really have affected a lot of people. But, well, I was just curious, you know, we didn't really hit this topic, but I was just wondering, what was your major motivation of why you wanted to go in the military?
Well, again, you know, I lived in a small town, and I knew I was gay, and the only chance for my parents weren't wealthy at all, and a typical middle-class family, they didn't, and with six children, me being the youngest, they didn't have the money to put me through college, so that was my only way of getting out of here. The rest of my family stayed in this area and grew up in this area, and I'm the only one that left, and I knew I had to leave, both because I was gay, and second, because of the money situation that my parents couldn't afford to get me through college. And, you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't a straight-A student. I mean, I was good, but not that great, you know. And so my prospects of getting into college on a grant were slim to none, so that's probably why I joined the service, just to get out of here and see, you know, see things and experience things, and but mainly just to get away from the area.
Right. So the primary purpose was to, you know, get school and you know, be able to travel and, you know, just get out of the area that you lived in. Okay. So once you, you know, made that choice to, you know, get out, I had another question. Let me go back. Because you said that you met Gene at the bar and you were in Florida at the time, right?
Right.
Okay. And you said that Gene was also in the Navy as well.
That's right.
And now, where was he? Were you both stationed in Florida at the same time?
Yes, we were. The only time we were separated was when I was on the submarines. That was the only time that we had separated. But the rest of the time, we actually moved in together, and we were living together while we were in the service down in Orlando. And then when I got stationed in Groton, Connecticut, we had moved to Vermont and had a house up there, so I would go up there and visit him when I had leave. And at that point, he was just about getting out of the service, and he went out on a disability. He's got a hearing problem, and he'll probably discuss that with you as well. So, you know, we were stationed together for about 3 years or 4 years together before, you know, I ended up being separated due to the military issue. And, you know, that took a toll on us. It really did. And, you know, after 23 years, your first 3 years, you know, it's really vulnerable. And we had our problems, but we managed to work our way through it.
Well, good. Well, what was it like to be a gay couple in the Navy, and then, you know, like, I mean, I know what it was like for me, where you had all these people, and they say, hey, do you got a girlfriend? Are you married? And I mean, did you get any of that at all?
Oh yeah, that's really tough, and that's part, you know, that really the reason why I got out, because you know when you're hanging out with your buddies and they start talking about the girls, you know, and they go into port and they want to go find something. Although in submarines, you don't, that doesn't happen that often where you go into port. But you know, they would always talk about, you know, their conquests, and you know, and they ask you about, you know, well, you know, don't you got a girlfriend, and you know, how come you don't, and you're not married, you know, and they go into the whole thing, and so, you know, I just got tired of the constant questions, because if you're single and, you know, you're 23 and, you know, they start questioning it. I mean, you know, especially in the military where, you know, if you're not bragging about your conquest all the time when you're out to sea, it's just, they kind of question it and they kind of look at you different. Not that I lied or anything to them, I just kind of put off the questions. So I just said, it's none of your business what I do, you know, and I'm not going to divulge that. So, you know, there's always rumors, but really nothing they could substantiate. And, you know, I hung out with them and everything was cool. But, yeah, there's a lot of peer pressure there.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, there was times it was really bad. And, you know, and I would, you know, sometimes you just lie and say, yeah, I got a girlfriend, but she's back home and I'm not going to cheat on her and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean,
hanging up your pictures above your rack, you know, I mean, a submarine, you've got a really small rack. It's smaller than a coffin, you know, and and you've got all those pictures there of their girlfriends and everything. And when you don't have any pictures up, they kind of wonder, like, what's going on with this guy, you know. So, yeah.
Did you have anybody actually say, are you gay, or tease you about it?
I did, but it was jokingly, and so they didn't really, you know, they just thought I was joking. I said, oh yeah, I'm gay, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, but they, in the submarine, everyone wears jumpsuits, and a lot of times people don't wear anything underneath them. I mean, I remember a time I was, you know, when you're on the deck, and, you're having somebody come up behind you during when they're rigged for red, which is at night, and you're surfacing, and you know, it's not uncommon where a guy would unzip his jumpsuit and put his dick on your shoulder. That happened to me on more than one occasion just to see what you would do. And, you know, I never flinched. And all I did was just stroke it, you know. I mean, just with my hand, you know, kind of like patting it kind of thing. And that just kind of like, oh, he's not turned off by it. And, you know, they do practical jokes like that all the time on subs. So, you know, there's a lot of kidding around like that. But then there's a lot of stuff that actually does go on, and all done in different areas on the sub or on the boat. So.
Wow. What's the weirdest thing you ever saw?
The weirdest thing I ever seen. Wow. The weirdest thing I'd rather not get into it. I mean, well, it was weird because, Bahrain, I was there, and it was in they have a petty officers club, and I went in there, and they have... They had some CBs. I don't know if you know what CBs are. They're the construction kind of guys that come in and do construction on the base or whatever. And there's a bunch of them there, and they would do kind of truth or dare kind of a thing. And your audience is just going to have to visualize this, because I'm not going to go into graphic details, but it involved a dog, and that's all I'm going to tell you. Yeah, and so that was the weirdest thing I think I've ever seen, but... Yeah, I won't, just let their imagination take them on that one. I'm
not going
any further on that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our military, folks. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's the military, and that's your tax dollars at work, I might add. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but, you know, since then, you know, I got out, I have my own business now. It's landscaping business and tree and shrub nursery here in Michigan, and enjoying that, and then going to law school isn't that my next thing at my age, you know, at 45. But, you know, you got to keep your mind active, and I want to go into environmental law, so that's kind of what I'm looking at now. So
good. Well, I'm just curious, because you kind of, you know, we jumped around a little bit, but how long were you and Gene together when you were in Florida, and then how long were you in Vermont?
Well, we met in 1983. Today, actually, was it's our unofficial anniversary. It would be 24 years today, actually. But we celebrate our anniversary the day we moved in together, and that was March 1st. We were living together in 93 till about 96. And then I got stationed on a submarine in Grand, Connecticut, and so we had that separation while I was going to nuclear power, or the nuclear program for submarines up in Grand.
How long was that, the separation?
That was probably, because I could come home every once in a while. We were separated, you know, because you were 6 months out, 6 months in, and total at that point I think was like 3 or 4 months, because I went home on leave for a little while up in Vermont and seeing them. But, you know, that is, it's difficult, you know. I can't stress that enough, especially if you're in a really good relationship and you want to keep it. It was just a stressful time for both. I had to drive from Groton to Vermont all the time, and I just hated the drive. I just hated that drive and leaving him. I hated Sundays. I mean, when I had to leave him for the weekend, and when I had watch, of course, I couldn't leave the base, but when I was there, I just hated Sundays because I'd have to come leave Vermont and go down there, so it just took a toll on me, so.
How far away was that?
If I recall, it was probably about 350, 400 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good 6-hour drive, and so I'd have to leave in the morning and get to base for my watch. Usually in the by early afternoon, I'd have to be there for my evening watch. You know, whenever I had my weekends off, I would, you know, go up there. But, you know, that was like, you know, 1 weekend a month that I get to see him while we were on shore duty. I mean, because you transfer 6 months in, 6 months out. So, I was only on submarines for like a year and a half, and that was enough for me, because I just, at that point, I turned myself in, so.
Wow.
Which was not pleasant either. I mean, when I got back stateside, I turned myself in. I was in Toulon, France, and, you know, they left me, I got to leave from France to fly back to the States, and I just remember, I thought, okay, what am I going to get on the other side, you know, when I get stateside? And I got a lot of harassment from a couple of senior chiefs that was there in Grand, Connecticut, and it was pretty ugly. He was, I hate to use the word fundamentalist Christian, but, you know, that's pretty much what he was. And I think religion's fine, but there's a place for everything, and that wasn't one of them. I mean, if here you are, you know, on a submarine base, and you're touting religion, and here you right here, there's an old adage, you know, about submarines, you know, 24 empty tubes and a Coors Light, you know, and it's Miller time or something like that. I can't remember the exact phrase, but, you know, you're driving the most lethal device ever known to man, and you're touting religion, so it doesn't really make any sense to me, but there you go.
So overall, from when you did come out to them to when you finally, you know, when everything was over, what was the time frame? How long did that take?
It took a long time. I think what they're trying to do is get more information on me or set me up. I mean, that's my personal belief looking back. And I actually had nightmares for a good 6 months after I turned myself in, because I always thought, okay, the nightmare that for me always was where they kept me there and wouldn't release me. And that actually took several months for them to release me. And I think they're trying to set me up. Like I said, they had a couple of guys that were trying to hit on me, and these guys were knockouts. And I knew there was something fishy there because, you know, I'm not a bad-looking guy, but, you know, for somebody just to meet me and then want to come to my room, and so it never worked. I never fell into that trap, but it's not beyond them to do that. I think it was like a period of like 3 or 4 months, and, you know, I kept saying, what's wrong with drawing up this paperwork? What's taking so long? You know, and they couldn't even give me an answer, you know, but I did a stellar job while I was there, and they wanted to keep me in another program there that they had, and I said, no, I'm out of here, you know, so even when I was gay, they were trying to keep me in there, you know, I came out, so.
Right, well, when we talked last night, you did, you know, go in a little bit more detail about that. Can you explain, like, what they said or what they did for the ones that wanted to keep you?
Well, I mean,
your supervisor?
I was temporarily assigned to another command there, another staff there that was support for the submarines that left, and I was temporarily assigned as a person who did ship movements at that point in time, and did support work there, and didn't actually get into the top secret stuff because at that point I probably lost my top secret clearance. But they, I did a really good job there. I mean, I think I created a couple of databases for them, and they were all excited about it and everything, and they gave me a really glowing evaluation, and they pretty much they tried to keep me, you know, and worked their way around the whole, you know, issue about me being gay and turning myself in. And I said, no, they wanted me to recant it. And I said, no, I'm not going to, because it's the truth, you know. So, but it was interesting. It probably wouldn't happen nowadays, but it happened back then.
Right. Okay, well, we're a little over the 30-minute mark, so I'm going to go ahead and stop for this moment. But just hold on, Tim. Okay, everybody, this is the end of part one with the interview with Tim, and we'll be doing some more with him, and then we'll be talking with his partner, Gene. And as you can tell just by the last 30 minutes, that it was a very interesting story, and we're going to try to get a little bit more detail about that. But if you'd like to send an email, you can do that at rambleredhead@gmail.com. You can also check out the website at rambleredhead.blogspot.com, and I would love to hear from you. And also, if you'd like to, you can call me on my my Skype line, which is 574-203-4263. So again, please continue to listen to the show, and we'll be continuing with part two in just a moment. Thank you.